Okay, so I'll open up to the floor, but is there anything different about this fast than any other fast we have? Yeah.
It's not Beit HaMikdash related.
Okay, it's not Beit HaMikdash related. You're referring to Shivas Arba Tammuz, Asar B'Tevi, and Tisha B'Av are all Beit HaMikdash related. Yeah.
And even Asar B'Tevi, you can make the case is sort of...
Yeah.
But, and it's also not really like a sad day in like traditional sense.
So Ari says it's not even a sad day in traditional sense, which is very strange because normally you think of a fast day as a day that we are sad. Yeah, obviously.
It's not like anything bad happened. Like in the end, the whole story of Megillat Esther is like everything turns out okay and the Jews are able to fight off the people who are going to kill them. So like we're mourning something that didn't really happen.
Okay.
That we thought was going to happen but actually didn't happen.
So that's a really interesting point and I'll kind of build off that point for a second. So I don't know if people have heard this idea, but there's an idea that one day all of the fast days are going to be turned into Yemei Simcha. People have heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when are they going to be Yemei Simcha?
Beit HaMikdash.
Right, when we have the Beit HaMikdash. We think of all the fast days that mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. One day those are all going to be Yemei Simcha when we have the Beit HaMikdash. So at some point, that tragedy is going to turn into a Yeshua, a redemption. And at that point, we're no longer going to have a use for the fast days. Now, here is a striking question. Now, Tanis Esther, we think there was a fast because it was a terrible decree made on the Jewish people. But in the end, everything turned out okay, and there was a Yeshua, there was a redemption at the time. So why is it not already not a fast day? Meaning, if we already have this concept that fast days turns into a Yemei Simcha when everything turns out okay, as what's going to happen to Tisha B'Av, that's literally already the case for the Purim story. Everything already turned out okay, so why is it still a fast day? That was the question I had. Anyone have any thoughts? Yeah, Kenny.
I think part of it is we have that, but it's tomorrow.
Okay.
Because today is the preparation for it. So it'd be as if like what they would have, as if there was a fast the day before Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur became a commemorative, like, happy day.
So why do we need a preparation day, and why is it a fast? A fast, I think, connotes sadness. Any other thoughts? Everyone understood the question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you here, go for it.
Are you still in Galut?
We're still in Galut. Okay, you're referencing part of why the Purim story is like a little bit, even though it's a Simcha, there's like a little bit of like a, it's like a little bit lesser Simcha. That's one of the answers to why we don't say Hallel on Purim is because we're still in Galut. So it's not a full Chag, it wasn't a full redemption. Right, I guess that's really what you're saying. Like, okay, if it was a full redemption, fine, then it would be a Yemei Simcha. We can't call this a full redemption if even after the Purim story, even after we were saved, we were still in Galut. Okay, Adam.
I might be missing pieces of the background context,
yeah.
But there's a mitzvah to fast before we go to war.
Okay.
So maybe it's reflective of that. They fasted on this day and then went to war the next day.
Great point. I'll get back to that. Great. Yeah, Ezra.
Maybe it's for the fact that this fast, unlike all the other fasts, really played a role in the story, and you see it brought down. Like, it happened in the Megillah, so it's sort of like we're going through those stages leading up to the Simcha aspect with the fast, the Tani.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you a kasha on that, though, already. Mm-hmm. Meaning, we have an idea that on Pesach, we want to chayv adam laharo satatzmo kilu yatzdami. So you have to see yourself as if you left from Egypt. When do we have a concept by Purim that, like, they did this, therefore we're going to do that? We only see that by Pesach. So they fasted, so we're, like, going to fast because they fasted.
I don't think that's necessary. I think the most important is that women are high in birth, for instance, because I think you can draw a lot of parallels there.
So is it like we're commemorating it? We're commemorating the fast?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of...
Reliving it?
That could be an aspect to it.
Maybe. Okay. Well, last thought? Yeah, go for it, Jacob.
Maybe it's part of, like, a takana for eating at Surah and drinking at Surah Shreiros.
Okay.
One of our mistakes was going to that party and eating and drinking, that for one day we don't eat and drink, and then maybe the next day we eat and drink, hopefully.
That is very interesting. I didn't even think of that. And just, like, building off that for a second, I'm just, like, thinking this now. You think of Yom Kippur, which is often Purim's compared to Yom Kippur. What happens the day before Yom Kippur? You have a mitzvah to eat, right? It's kind of like the flip of that, where now we have like the preparation for the fast Yom Kippur is you have the mitzvah to eat, and here the preparation for the simcha of Purim is the mitzvah to fast. Very interesting. I don't know. That's a great point. Maybe it's a takana for that. So I'll just throw out a few ideas that I had. But if you think about the fast going on, what Ezra said and what Adam was saying, what fast happened in the Book of Esther? What fast was there? How many fasts were there? I promised 10 minutes. Let me check the time. Oh, boy. Yeah, what was that?
Mordechai definitely fast, and then I guess they...
What was the first fast? First fast was... Haman decreed Jewish people are going to be killed. Everyone fasted. All right, second fast. What was the second fast? Anyone know?
Esther.
Esther. Yeah, when Esther.
When Esther
was about to talk to Achashverosh, she asked that everyone fast for her. Is there a difference between those two fasts?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's like the fundamental difference?
One's personal, essentially. One's for someone else. One's for every. Like they're fasting for her, and they were fasting for themselves.
Okay, one of them was fasting for themselves, meaning why were they fasting for themselves?
They were fasting because they heard something horrible that was going to relate to them. The other one...
They were mourning, right? The first one, they were mourning. The second one, they were mourning?
No, they were... It was...
They were hopeful.
Yeah.
They were hopeful. It was much more like of a hopeful or like a reflective. And perhaps, and it's not like as clear, perhaps it was a third fast. And some people say this, that before they went to war, when they had the right to defend themselves, there was an idea to fast before you go to war. And again, that obviously isn't mourning. It's also more of like a preparatory fast. And you think why you have a preparatory fast before you go to war, maybe it's more similar to the second fast. So what was the point of the second fast?
Well, that's reflected in the day that we fast, no?
In?
Meaning that it's the 13th as opposed to whatever day.
Okay. So that's a good point also. It's actually not so clear if Tanya Esther, if the day is significant. There are minhagim brought down that it was actually 3 days after Purim. And there's also a unique halacha by Tanya Esther. Normally, let's say Tisha B'Av falls out on a Shabbat. When do you practice Tisha B'Av? Mm-hmm. It's Nidche, right? It's pushed off till Sunday. Is that the same thing for Tanya Esther? Let's say Purim's on a Sunday and Tanya Esther's on a Shabbat.
Thursday or something.
Yeah, you move it up. Yeah. It's actually the only one when you move up. Yeah. And the reason is normally we want to push off, paranos, like bad things, but we move up good things. And this is considered a good thing that we would even move up. So it even more like uncovers some of like the what Tanya Esther is all about, which is it's not necessarily meant to be a sad time. It's actually more similar to the second fast that the Jewish people had when Esther went to speak to Achashverosh. It's much more similar to a reflective day than what is supposed to be a sad mourning day. So then the question becomes, well, if it's a reflective day, what are we meant to be reflecting on? Any thoughts? So you think about the concept, the context of what Mordechai was telling Esther when he told Esther to speak to Achashverosh, and like perhaps for this reason you were put in your position, and perhaps for this reason you were given this position of Malchus. I think the reflection there and why it's like relevant for us today is we should also be reflecting about our own place and our own position in Jewish history and the impact that we're supposed to be making. I think that's what Mordechai was telling Esther. And that's what the Jewish people were, I guess, thinking about at the time. They were thinking about that togetherness and being with Esther when she was going to speak to Achashverosh and how they were all going to play their part. There's an interesting Gemara in Megillah that talks about how Haman was more successful than any of the Nevi'im. Right? How was Haman more successful than any of the Nevi'im?
Because he got Bnei Israel to do tshuva.
Right, he got Bnei Israel to do tshuva, but all the Nevi'im were not able to get Bnei Israel to properly do tshuva. And it just furthers this idea of Adelo Yada being Arar Haman and Baruch Mordechai, really seeing everything as one, really seeing everything as all part of the same plan. I once heard an interesting question, and I'll finish off with this. But if you think about it, Adelo Yada being Baruch Mordechai and Arar Haman, they're really the same exact thing, right? What is the success what is the downfall of your enemies? I would call that your success. If your enemies fall, you're successful. What's your success? That's the downfall of your enemies. So Adelo Yada bin Baruch Mordechai and Arar Haman, they're really saying, until we don't know the difference between two things that are the same thing. So what is that? What is that we're not going to know the difference in two things that are the same thing? They go hand in hand. And I think that's kind of what the Gemara Megillah is telling us and part of this idea, that it's not just that they're not the same thing and seeing the difference, but seeing the goal is to see them as the same thing. We should really see all these things as part of Hashem's plan, whether it's the Baruch of Mordechai, whether it's the Arar of Haman. And just like the Gemara Megillah says, the Arar of Haman was part of Hashem's plan. And I think that's part of the reflection of Tanya Esther. It's part of the reflection of what our place is in Hashem's plan. And that's the reflection that Esther was having also on the day the Jewish people were fasting. And that's why it's not really a sad day. It's much more of a reflective day. And it really is supposed to just enhance and lead up to Purim and give us that reflection before we feel this info. So, Freilichim Purim, everyone. All right. It's no egg and potatoes. All right, Daf Yomi.